So Thursday was officially Ascension Day. Thursday was 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead. And prior to the ascension, we had the disciples often in that upper room with the doors locked, kind of hiding from the world. But as we entered into Scripture this morning, we entered in with the passage from Luke, where we hear Jesus takes them out into the community beyond Bethel, and he ascends into heaven. And did you pay attention to what it said next? It says they returned to the city to wait for the Holy Spirit, as Jesus called them to wait. And then they were worshiping in the temple with great joy. They had moved from that fearful place in the upper room to the temple, to the community, since the ascension. And as they were waiting, they began to think about the things that they needed to do so that they would be ready, so that they would be ready for when the Holy Spirit came. So what they did is they decided that they needed to fill that 12th seat. They were one short of the 12 tribes. They had 11 and they needed a 12th. So Peter, he became a designated leader of the group, or Peter was just being Peter and choosing to lead the group, said we need to do this to fulfill the scripture. But I want us to pay attention to that, to fulfill the scripture, because the reading began this way, which the Holy Spirit, through David, foretold concerning Judas, who had become a guide for those who arrested Jesus. Listen to this piece. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Judas is who they're replacing, and we often give Judas all sorts of bad names. In fact, Judas has become a name we use to talk about people who betray others. But Peter reminds us that the Lord knows everyone's heart. The Lord knew Judas's heart and selected him to be one of the 12 so that he could be numbered among them and allotted his place in the ministry. Now, some might say, well, he knew his heart and knew that his heart was broken enough that he would do what he needed to do so that Jesus would be crucified. But either way, he was allotted his place in the ministry. So when Peter begins to ask the community, you know, how are we going to fill Judas's spot? The first thing they talk about is prayer. To pray so that the Holy Spirit, or it hadn't come yet, but for God to bring forth for them the next leader. And as true non-Methodists that they were, they cast lots. But casting lots at that time was a way for God's will to be exposed to people. It wasn't what we might think about casting lots today. It was a typical practice to determine God's will. They would cast lots. So, but there were criteria, weren't there, for them to choose who to rule. The criteria included someone who had been with us with Jesus from the beginning, from his baptism until the day he was taken up from us. Had you ever thought that all the disciples were with Jesus at the baptism? Because often we know Jesus baptized and then called his disciples, right? So somewhere in that crowd that day, all 12 had to have been there for that criteria to be met. But there was only two in that 120 that met the criteria. That was Joseph, who's called Barsabbas or Justice, and Matthias. So there's two men who are called, who meet the criteria. And so they cast lots, and the lots fall on Matthias. So now they're back to 12 for next Sunday when we celebrate Pentecost and the youth who are going off into the world. But do you ever read of Matthias or justice anywhere else but in these scriptures? What does it mean that Matthias became one of the 12? So I want us to think about this. Jesus, the Lord, knows our hearts. Do we think that all 12 of the apostles had to have great things done? Do we believe that all 12 had to be superstars, like Peter, James, and John? That they all needed to be martyred, as we read about most of them being martyred? What happened to Matthias? And even what happened to Justice, who knew everything Matthias did, but didn't get selected? Now, some people like to move into that place where they didn't wait for the Holy Spirit, so they picked wrong. And that's why we don't know about Matthias. But I want us to think about something else, because the scriptures don't tell us that. The scriptures just mention that he was selected and he was not. I want us to think about how, as a community, we often think of the superstars. You know, we can name the superstars in basketball. We can name the superstars maybe in baseball. I don't know if many know superstars in baseball. Football, hockey, soccer, golf pros. We can name the superstars. We know Peter, James, and John almost by heart. But when you get beyond Peter, James, and John, who are the other 12? And they are in Scripture, but we don't know them as well. So Matthias. Maybe Matthias, when he was called, the Lord knew his heart, and his heart said, go to Kittrell. It's a small little town. Kittrell needs a man like you, Matthias, a man who witnessed to Jesus from the time of his baptism to his resurrection. Kittrell needs to know the story, and you've got the gifts and graces to see the Christ in the midst of people in Kittrell. It's not a big town, and people might not even know you were there and might not remember your name when you move on, but that's where I'm calling you. The possibility is that because nothing big happened, you know, earth-shaking happened in Matthias's ministry, that he didn't make it in the scriptures beyond being called. Or the possibility that Joseph, as a layperson, went out and did the work that he knew God called him to do, because he knew Jesus from the time of his baptism until his ascension. He knew him. So, you know, Joseph might have gone back to his hometown, called Bobbitt. And in Bobbitt, did the things that God called him to do there. We often talk about, you know, first churches and bishops and deacons and, you know, and we name the big names. Everyone knows Billy Graham. But does anyone know the names of the people that worked the crowd for Billy Graham? That took care of the souls who found Jesus Christ in the midst of those revivals? Do we know their names? When we think that we have to do something big for the kingdom of God, then we've lost sight of why we are called children of God. Each one of us has a gift and a grace, and God knows our hearts, knows where our hearts lie, knows where those gifts can bring fruit for the kingdom. We don't have to do the big things, but we do have to do the faithful things. We do have to be present for the Holy Spirit to fall upon us so that we can go out and do the work that we do. I bet each one of you can remember someone who showed you Christ in a moment you needed to see Christ. And their name might not be up in lights. I think about the things that you have done over this pandemic. How you've reached out to the schools, how you've reached out to people in need, how Kay and James Dean's got a ramp when they needed it, how Peanut got an elevator, how food got given to people who were sick and in need, how cards and letters got given, how bulletins got distributed to people who were without internet, how families got visited, how phone calls got made. The kingdom of God is not going to be brought about by a nation. The kingdom of God is going to be brought about by God through Jesus Christ and the love that we share and the message of salvation that we share. The world can't be changed through violence. The world can only be changed through love. And that doesn't mean we need to do love in big ways. It means we need to not give up on the ones who need to know that they are loved. So that if we have widows who are suffering, they need to know that they're not alone. If we have people who are struggling financially, they need to know that we'll make sure they've got food on their table and electricity to run their lights. That students need to know that there's a place where they can go for a hotspot if they need to connect to the school. But it's also that each of us knows that everyone in this room and everyone joining us on Facebook Live, we're connected to one another through the love of God and Jesus Christ. And through that love, the world will be changed. The Lord knows our hearts. When he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he promised us the Holy Spirit. And 10 days later it came. And the world began to be changed. And the Spirit is present here now, and the world is still changing. Don't give up. Keep your hope alive, because God will win. Love will win. But we have got to love. The Lord knows our hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.